Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Sometime we ought to just have you play through a class. No, they wouldn't either. All right. Let's see. Here's my card. Okay. Let me start off with the two that are in process right now. First of all, Jim Passmore and his wife are right now on their way to Houston for the funeral of his brother-in-law, his sister Dawana, and be in prayer for Jim and Mindy as they travel, and then in the morning for the service. Now, it went kind of in order that, first of all, they wanted to see if I could do it, and I just told them my plate was full, and I was very sorry. And then Jim was going to have to do it, and he said his plate was overflowing and it was empty. He didn't have anything to say, and but he gave a few verses, and then but he called and said that they've worked out it's going to be a military service, and he said I may have to pray. I said, well, Jim, let's only got it that way, but so let's be in prayer for Jim and the whole family and their children. Dawana and her husband have children. So let's just be in prayer for them. And the other that's in process right now is that John Hintz called, and a young lady, 23 years old, graduated from University of Arizona there in Tucson, was last night asleep in her own bed, and a random shooter shot into some houses, shot into her house, and it struck her in the head when she was in bed. And so this morning they spent hours getting the shell, getting the round out of her skull, and but right now she's comfortable, best word we can put, and looks like she'll come through okay. But so let's be in prayer for Rachel and her parents and family. And then another one that's in process is Tish, and you just got some good news. Give it to us.
I went for a CT scan, and 'cause there were some new areas they were concerned about, but it did not show up on the scan.
Good.
And everything else is just either smaller or it's right where it was. It has not spread anywhere.
Good.
So it's a really good report. I was really excited to get it today.
Very good. And any time frame on anything, I guess they can't say.
The doctor, when they did the scan, they do put it on a disc, and he's going to study the disc and study the tissue. And I don't know what that's going to tell him, but that's why he ordered the test.
Okay. But the good news is it's not spreading. It's getting smaller.
Yes, okay. It seems to be getting smaller.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer for Tish and her body, and we just keep on being in prayer.
Yeah, but I feel good, so I like the prayer. It's so weird.
She's already let us be known. She's always going to have something for us to pray about.
Well, we're keeping it at bay.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I got my energy back.
I believe in the power of prayer, so
yeah.
We'll definitely do that. Let's see. We need to continue to be in prayer for Harold Simonson. He was at church Sunday. Bill Hess. Let's continue to be in prayer for Bill. And then coming up, let's be in prayer for Phil McMillan. He'll be teaching Sunday. And please be in prayer for camp next week in just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Judith and I will both be speaking, so please be in prayer for us. Dan Hill will be speaking. And Sarah Grady was coming down from Mexico. A family in Dan's church paid for him not a new van, but another van. And Dan went over and checked it all out, and I know if Dan checked it out, it's going to be okay. And I'd probably get in and drive it around the blocks. It's good, but Dan gets underneath with a mirror and everything. So let's be in prayer for the camp next week, that these young children will learn and put it into their brain what grace is and what grace isn't.
And so, be in prayer. I'm going to be driving the kids down with Terry, so be in prayer for the kids.
I'm going to be in prayer for other drivers on the road. Be in prayer for a few extra angels on your deal. And well, good. Okay. Now, are you staying?
No.
No.
I just drive, so she doesn't have to drive by herself.
Who?
Terry.
Okay. All right. And y'all are going to go up Sunday after church?
I'm not sure. I don't remember what day we're going.
Okay. Well, don't you think you ought to know that? Just
I'm flexible.
Just call me and I'm ready to go. All right. Well, we'll be in prayer for y'all's travel. In fact, be in prayer for all the young people, whoever's driving them.
Yeah.
And because that's, you read about in the paper, whether they're believers or not, but they're a Christian group and they're driving and they go off the cliff or go into the ditch or something like that. So please be in prayer for all the young people. That kind of thing can really ruin a good camp. And so let's be in prayer for the camp. Now, I'll be back July the 5th, the next Sunday, after next Sunday. And Phil will be teaching next Sunday, and I'll come back. And we decided we will not do communion the 5th. We'll wait till the 12th. Because the 4th of July and everybody's going to be disoriented and have firecrackers going off in their head. So we'll do the communion the following Sunday, okay? Yeah, okay. And so we'll do the communion then on July the 12th. So any questions on what's going on? Okay. And let's see. I'd like you to be in prayer for Don and his son Cliff. Cliff came in today. And I'm trying to hog time to stay and to leave till Friday morning, but they want to leave tomorrow afternoon. But whenever they go, let's be in prayer that get a safe trip. And Cliff today said, "Oh, it was a great trip until I hit Dallas." And then it was bumper to bumper and rain and storm. So let's be in prayer for them as they go back. Any other prayer requests that I'm omitted? Okay. All right, let's begin our study tonight with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're studying and relying on the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher, not me. And now we're going to have class next Tuesday, but it'll be the continuation of Countdown to Armageddon on a film put out by the History Channel. So that'll be next Tuesday. But we will not have class next Wednesday, but we will Tuesday. And I don't know if there'll be popcorn next week. There wasn't any this week. And so just bear that in mind. All right, let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, your plan from the very beginning to the end is grace. That includes our creation. That includes our understanding of the gospel. That includes salvation. And then it includes growing as a believer. All of these are by grace. And so, Father, we pray tonight as we continue our study in the Gospel of John 14 and 1 Corinthians that your Spirit will open our eyes to see how simple it is to grasp the truth of Scripture. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I don't know why, but I guess I tried, but we've got a little bit to do on the 1 Corinthians passage, but let's just see where we are. It's been, seems like, so long that we've been here and on Tuesday, Wednesday night. Now, let's look at John 14, first of all, the Gospel of John 14. People, it is amazing. You study the Gospel and how to be saved. There are just so many different views. And then you get into another study that very few people even approach. How do we grasp the Scriptures? How do we grasp them? I know I went to seminary because I was told that if you learned the Greek and the Hebrew, the truth would open up, Scripture would open up, and you'd clearly see everything. Both are concrete, both are just solid, and all of this. Nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, I just labored through Hebrew and labored through Greek, and I don't know why Hebrew was easier for me. Of course, I don't know why I was read from right to left instead of left to right. Maybe that had something to do with it, but I found out that just wasn't the truth. That you could have be a genius in the languages and still not see the truth. So it's not there. And yet there are people who just have the King James or just an English translation, and they can see the truth. And doesn't mean that there's not an advantage to having the languages and studying in the languages. I'm not saying that, but in just in grasping the truth, it seems to be a mystery how we can understand the deep things of God, and from salvation on, from understanding His essence on. So let's take a look at John 14, and let's just read through some verses, getting up to our study, and we'll start with verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, what has happened that You're going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world?" So what's the difference? And the difference is, whosoever loves Me versus he who does not love Me. And we know how this love is by the fruit of the power of the Holy Spirit. And verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word." And how do we love Him? We love Him by the faith in the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. "And My Father will love Him, and we will come to Him and make our abode with Him." And we spend time on, but we thought God loved everyone. So what's going on in this passage? All right, we covered that. Now we go to verse 24. "He who does not love Me does not keep My words." And the words are to believe in the Son, and then to believe in the Spirit, and to love as Christ loved. "And the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me." Then we come to verse 25, and we spent time on 24. And so we now come to verse 25. And verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." This is the humanity of Jesus Christ with the disciples. "But," and here we go now, "but the Helper." Now, there's that word. We've already looked at it before. Helper is just wrong. It gives the wrong idea, like we do our part, and He does helps us to do His part and all this kind of stuff. No, the best thing I can do with it is paraclete. And parakletos means to make things clear, to assist, to guide. It has so many wonderful meanings, all of which are the function of the Holy Spirit. But the parakletos, that is the Holy Spirit, and He's already been talking about how He will not leave us as orphans, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He, not me, and not you yourselves, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said. So He will teach you these things. These things means these teachings. In verse 25, "These teachings I have spoken to you." And it is to their advantage to have the Lalao, to have Him speak to them, to you. It is for their advantage while abiding with you. And we've been studying this word in so many different respects, and we looked at various passages right here in this context, different things. But the parakletos, and we've had this word, same word we had in verse 16. But the parakletos, and now Jesus Christ identifies the parakletos, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ was here, and they walked following Him, they were walking by sight. Now, another is going to come. And if you look back up in verse, 16. "I will send you, I will ask the Father, and He will send you another parakletos, that He may be with you forever." Remember, the reason He says that is because He has come to them, and now He tells them He's leaving. When the parakletos comes, He will be with them forever. He will be with us forever. And then in verse 17, that is the Spirit. Now, why does He tell them that? Because He's human. They've been used to dealing with this human. Now they're going to deal with God, the Holy Spirit. So don't look for another person in the flesh like Me. Look for the Holy Spirit. So this is what we have dealing with here. So He's a parakletos. But the parakletos, that is the Holy Spirit, whom God the Father will send in My name, under My authority. And then it says, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance the things that I said to you. Now, I don't know if He only recalls the spiritual things, but I guarantee in my education time, I prayed that He would cause me to remember something I read for a test, and He didn't do it. So I guess it's just spiritual things. All things, And so all things dealing with the spiritual things. And then the Parakletos, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you, and we dealt with that. Bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And now we come to the great question, how does all this work? How does it work for the Holy Spirit to bring these things into our memory, into our head, to teach us and guide us in all of these things? That took us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's just turn there and kind of read through to get ourselves going into what we're where we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And by the way, we're not doing this passage any justice at all. This should take quite a lengthy amount of time, because it is a very important passage of Scripture. And I suspect, going by commentaries and things, that very few spend much time, the time allotted for this passage, because it really goes through the process how we get the gray matter, how the Holy Spirit gets into the gray matter. So let's just read through this. And when I came to you, brethren, believers, I did not come to you with superiority of speech or of wisdom. In other words, flaunting his IQ and flaunting how much more he knew. Proclaiming to you the testimony of God. So he's not depending on superiority of speech, debater's technique, logic, all of these kinds of things, his IQ, and all of this. Now verse 2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's simple. It doesn't require a lot of IQ. It doesn't require superior speech and all of these things. This is my message. Christ crucified. And this is the simplicity of his message. Then verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So I dealt with the difference between the weakness in the flesh to grasp the spiritual things, in the fear of what he was dealing with. And as I told you many times, people, you ought to do a little fear when you open this book. Because I sure do, sitting at my desk. Because it's so easy to have this book say what you want it to say. And this is why we have so many religions, denominations, and movements. And it's, you just have to rely on the Holy Spirit. So there's a fear in dealing with the truth of the Scriptures and not seeing and teaching the truth. So he does that in much trembling. Okay, verse 4. And my message, what I've got to say, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, even of power. Okay, this helps us to understand where all of this comes together in dealing with the work of the Holy Spirit. And the power is the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 5. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, so we do not trust men, but on the power of God. What is the power of God? The Holy Spirit. Just told you in verse 4. The Spirit, even of power. He's a Spirit of truth. He's a Spirit of power. And so that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And the power of God is the Holy Spirit. So we spend time there. Okay, verse 6. Yet we do not speak of wisdom among those who are mature. There are a lot of people who think they're very mature and they know it all. A wisdom, however, not of this age. Okay, what is of this age? This age refers to the church age, nor of the rulers of this age, that's the angels, Satan and the angels, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Now we're working on that word glory, and still piling up notes, and it's just a mess. I got notes over here on glory dealing with man, glory dealing with God, glory that you can see, glory that you cannot see, glory that can be improved, and all these things, and trying to get some kind of grasp of what's going on with the word glory. But this is important. But we speak of wisdom in the mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God, see, mystery already means hidden. And then, so he has hidden, working from the mystery, hidden, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Now, this is not something we have to wait for in eternity. This is now. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified Jesus Christ had they figured it all out. Now, Satan considers himself very wise, and he crucified Jesus Christ, and as we've seen so many times, in that darkness, and Christ spoke. I think at that point, when the darkness covered the cross, Satan said, uh-oh, he's done it to me again. But if he had had the wisdom that he thinks he has, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but just as it is written, things which eye have not seen, ear has not heard. Now, these are the things that he's to seek to communicate and give to us. And which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Note again the importance of loving him. Loving God, loving Jesus Christ. That's very important. In John 14, those who love me, I will reveal myself to, and the Father and I will come. And those who do not love me, I will not. Here's the love again. How do we love him? This is not a human love. This is a love that is given by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, the central issue is to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But these things, verse 9, doesn't refer to eternity future. It refers to right now in our lives. Verse 10, for to us God revealed these things that he has hidden, revealed them through the Holy Spirit. Not through the wisdom of man, not through man figuring it all out, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, if you take verse 10, and this is where we got to finish up tonight, to verse 16, it'll be another clue as to what's being talked about. For those who have known the mind of the Lord, that we should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. This is a quote from Isaiah talking about the Holy Spirit. This whole section's about the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 10, just as another little clue on what's being referred to. A lot of people think that refers to Bible doctrine. People, Bible doctrine is what we want to understand. You can't use what we don't know to figure out another doctrine which we don't know. So we've got to go somewhere else to understand these things, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 10. For to us God revealed them, this wisdom that he's talked about, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Verse 11. For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? What he's saying here is that humans can understand humans. We don't have really the mind ability to understand animals. I wonder what that dog's thinking. And I wonder what that horse is thinking. I wonder what we don't really. They do. They understand it perfectly. When they go and talk about their master with the dog next door, they understand what they're talking about. We don't, but we understand each other. I understand what you're going through. I understand what's happening. Because we're men. We have that same nature in us. That's what's happening here. All right. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? So we can understand each other. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ. And so having the mind of Christ, having the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, I wish we had time to develop all of these conjunctions. Verse 6, yet. Verse 7, but. Verse 9, but. Verse 10, for. Verse 11, for. Verse 12, now. The Greek here is just very beautiful when you diagram it and set up all the particles and those things. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, that is at the point of salvation, we've received, but the Holy Spirit who is from God. All right, what do we study in John 14? I will ask the Father, He will send. The Father will send in my name. So here you have that event happening. We receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is from God. Why? That, or in order that, we might know the things freely given to us by God. You go back up to verses 8 and 9. It's given to, or verse 9 actually. There was written these things which eye has not seen, nor ear not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared. Those are the things being talked about here. Who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Freely, grace. Anything that is free is of grace. You do not earn or deserve it. It comes to us by the filling of the Holy Spirit, indwelling, and then the filling. Which things, those mysteries, wonderful things, that God has prepared for us, that the world has not understood, which things we have received, which things we also speak, Paul speaks them, so we're not talking about eternity, we're talking about now, in words taught by human wisdom. So this is not things that are going to be taught by human wisdom. Let me just put away these notes, because I'm not even using them, and look to where we left off. I don't know how many weeks ago, several weeks ago. All right. Well, I had it marked. Just don't have a repeat of last week. Here it is. Okay. Repeat of last night. Okay. All right. Verse 13. Which things, the mystery that God has concealed, we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, man trying to figure it out with his IQ, with his ability, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual. Now what the NASV has done, spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But what we really have going on is they were combining the spiritual, things of the Holy Spirit, with the spiritual that goes on inside of our head, in our brain. Now, verse 14. But a natural man, it's our flesh nature, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Okay, so the natural man, that's the unbeliever or believer out of the filling of the Spirit, does not accept, that means to grasp. Means to grasp the things of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. For they are foolishness to him. All right, we'll just start with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. Some of you hear this, you understand this, and you say, no, that's foolishness. And that's what the Greeks did. They said, this is foolishness. And it's foolish to them that Christ would come, die on a cross, and by that death, save the whole world. That's just foolishness. And that's already been dealt with in 1 Corinthians 1. That's just foolishness to them. So, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Being wise, they become fools. Being wise, they have rejected that God become man, die on a cross, take care of the sin problem, offer salvation. It's foolishness to him. So he's become wise. And he cannot understand them. He's just turned it off, so why would he understand them? This whole thing of salvation by grace through faith is just nonsense to him, so he doesn't understand them. Because they are spiritually appraised. Spiritually appraised means by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which is necessary for the understanding of these things. So they're spiritually appraised by the power of the Holy Spirit in that part of man that we received at salvation in Jesus Christ. Okay, now we come to verse 15. And this is where we left off 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago. I don't want to know how long ago. All right, just been a while. I mean, so much has happened to me in that time frame. I was just a happy little bachelor, and now I'm a grandfather. And I've never seen the Grand Canyon. Now I've been down in there, and I didn't know if I was going to get back up. And there's just been so many things. So here we go, verse 15. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. All right, again, the question. How do we spiritually appraise all things? That's the question. How do we spiritually appraise? All right, the answer, in or by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our reasoning these things out. Have somebody that's a genius in logic, have somebody a genius in geometry, things like that, sit it all down, we're going to figure this all out. You can't do that. This is the secret mysteries of God. So it is, must be, how do we spiritually praise all things? In or by the power of the Holy Spirit, depending on Him and not on our own ability, not with our own language, which language is our tool by which we communicate. It is a tool by which we put thoughts together. And the better or stronger the language, you broaden these things. But even that doesn't give you the ability to figure these things out. Okay. In a spiritual insight. Let's look at the phrase, but he is spiritual appraises all things. Let's look at all things. This is understanding the all things by the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've often said in prayer sometime before class on Sunday, there are several ministries of the Holy Spirit at work. Number one, the inspiration of the writing of Scripture and the divine authors, all the way from the writer of Job and Moses with Genesis, all the way to Revelation. God the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture. Then there is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in preserving these Scriptures. Many writings by man have been lost through history. Satan would love to have lost this, but the Holy Spirit has preserved it. Third, the compiling, putting together the books that the Holy Spirit and that God the Father wanted in this book. This is His precious Word. How do we know, well, this book over here and this book out here and this book are not part? People had nothing to do with man. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is God's doing. But you have all of that. Then we come down to sit down and open up the book. All of that is of no value if we have to depend on our own ability to understand this book. So we have the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. So spiritual insight, all things. But he who is spiritually appraises all things. The illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. Teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We see the all things in the spiritual realm. Not judged by man. By any man, even another believer. This is something that the Holy Spirit does of Himself. Okay? Now verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that He should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay. You look at this and you kind of wonder where all this comes from. And this is one thing that I've learned since learning how to be filled with the Spirit as opposed to before. Just study and take what's there. But now I ask a lot of questions. And going through not just what does it say here, but why? How does it flow with the whole text? This seems out of left field. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Okay, where does that come from? That he should instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? So first of all, let's look back at verse 10. Let's look back at verse 10. For to us God revealed, them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of Christ. So you go all the way back. Man does not do this. Man cannot do this. Even a believer who is out about to do the investigation of that the Holy Spirit does. So who or what is being talked about in verse 16? We have the mind of Christ. What is that we have? We have the mind of Christ. So this is one of those questions that how you answer determines how you're going to live. It answers how you're going to approach Scripture. So there are different pastors, if I line them up, different answers for this question. How are we going to know what is being talked about here. We have the mind of Christ. Is he talking about the literal mind of Christ? Is he talking about Bible doctrine? And so how you answer this is going to be determined how you live then. If I say this is the mind of Christ is Bible doctrine, I'm going to spend my life, boy, just studying the Bible day by day, every day. Got to study. And somehow or another, if I study enough, I'll have it. Is that what's going on here? So the different pastors are going to answer this differently. So how you answer it is going to determine how you're going to live. How are we going to know what is being talked about in this verse? Okay, first answer to this question. How do we know what the mind of Christ is? First of all, context. There are three rules, and I say this in humor, they say there are three rules for grasping a passage. Context, context, and context. And there's just been so much false teaching and throughout church history because of taking passages out of context. The key one that has done so much damage in the Roman Catholic Church, and then the Protestant Church picked it up, 1 John 1:9. They just ripped that out of context and made it say things it never says. So you got to stay in the context. So let's first of all look at context. Point one, understanding, knowing, discerning, appraising Scripture. This is what this passage is about. Two, all the way through this chapter, the emphasis is on the person of the Holy Spirit. All the way through this passage. Just can't be denied. I was talking about the Holy Spirit. Three, so Paul closes this with the fact that we have this Holy Spirit in us. So we're without excuse. We have the Holy Spirit in us. That is, by having the Holy Spirit in us, we have the mind of Christ. Or we have the mind of Christ by having the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it's told us in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is quoted. What we have just read in verse 16 is quoted in Isaiah 40, 13 through 14. So let's turn to Isaiah 40. Just to find out what Paul is quoting and what's he talking about. This will, again, solve the problem. First of all, context. And now we just take a look at the verse quoted as his proof text. His foundation text. That's why you have quoting of the Old Testament. When I was in seminary, I took an interesting course, and I just took it because I was interested in it. Didn't realize how vital it was to the whole study of Scripture, and that was the New Testament's use of the Old Testament. And we learned, about 15 uses of the Old Testament in the New. And we would go to this and look at it and here and look at it there and develop all of these things, and it's turned out to be extremely valuable and important study. Okay, the use of the Old Testament in Paul's passage where he finally lays it down, we have the mind of Christ. That's the great mystery that God is withholding. Isaiah 40, 13. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? So who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has instructed him? Let me read to you the NIV. NIV is very interesting here. Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? And that's very close to what we have going on here in the text. So what is going on in these two different translations? One uses the Hebrew word and translates it spirit. The other translates the same word mind. No Hebrew word is translated spirit and mind. So what's going on here? Who has understood the mind? Or who has directed the spirit of the Lord? Who has understood the mind of the Lord? And there's just no Hebrew word that does all of this. So Paul quoted Isaiah 40:13 to show that the natural man is not able to know the mind of God. He's asking man this question. Who's done it? Have you done it? It's like God and Job. Have you taken care of Leviathan? Have you done this with Rahab? No. That's what he's doing here, the same principle. So Paul quotes Isaiah 40:13 to show that the natural man is not able to know the mind of God without the Spirit of God. The Hebrew in Isaiah 40:13 does not use the word mind, but it uses the word spirit. And that's the Hebrew word. Paul is showing that it is the Holy Spirit that is the mind of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, the NIV simply is trying to show that this is what Paul is doing. So that's why they changed from spirit to mind. They're trying to show that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah, Spirit of the Lord. Paul, in quoting Isaiah, the mind of the Lord, equating the spirit and the mind of God, the thinking or reasoning process of God, of Jesus Christ. What Paul is doing is showing that there is no contradiction between the Spirit of God and the mind of God. We have seen in John that the Holy Spirit does not speak of His own accord. He searches and speaks the mind of God. He doesn't speak His own. He searches the mind of God. He speaks the mind of God. It's what the Holy Spirit does. He's the only one that can do that. So having the mind of the Lord is having the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Having the mind of the Lord is having the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? And who has done that? The Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 40. But we have the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. If that's not clear, let me know. Because this is very important. Because if I say that the mind of the Lord here is doctrine, then I'm going to tell you, boy, you just got to spend your life learning Bible doctrine. If I say that the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit, then we spend our life walking by faith, trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide us in the study of Scripture, guide us in making decisions in life, guide us, pour in spiritual love, guide us in that love and that Spirit. So how you interpret this is extremely important. It's much like we live by faith, not by sight. I can translate that. We live by that which we trust, Bible doctrine. So I'm going to tell you, you live by Bible doctrine, not by sight. However, if I say we live by faith, faith in the Holy Spirit, it's an active sense of walking by faith, that's how we live. How you interpret so many of these things determine how you're going to live. Be very careful who you listen to and all these kind of things. So this is our point. Now what we'll do, two Wednesday nights from now, we will go back now and complete John, or not complete, but get back into the momentum of John 14 and try to pick up a little pace, but I keep saying that, and we don't pick it up very fast, but I try. And I sit down at my desk, and, boy, we got to get through five verses, and then I get in there, oh, wow, look at this whole valley. And but I'll try to improve here and in Romans. I don't know why. I don't know what the hurry is. I think the rapture is going to come before I finish any of it. But we'll just take our time and go through the momentum and see what God is saying to us in Revelation, in John, and in Romans. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. I remind you to please be in prayer for all the young people on their way to camp, during camp, studying and learning. And please be in prayer for Don Cliff traveling. Be in prayer for Jim Passmore traveling and tomorrow. All right, let's pray. Father, there are so many things that seem to be a mystery. But we've learned one important truth. It's walk by faith, trusting your Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to illuminate for us the truth of Scripture. We don't have any platform we want to superimpose on Scripture, read out of Scripture, read into Scripture. It's all the Spirit. Take us into the Scriptures and show us what is being said. Pray, Father, we'll take these things, and these things will motivate us to walk all the more by faith, even and especially when we open this book. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.